Hi there, listener. Before we dive in, I want you to know that this podcast is AI generated. It's crafted from the topics and principles shared in the Bye Bye Panic Anxiety Recovery Program. And while AI helps bring this content to life, the recovery tools and insights remain rooted in the principles that have helped so many people overcome their symptoms for good. Enjoy the episode.
You know, it's something we hear about quite a bit, actually, that sudden rush of panic when you're driving. It's surprisingly common.
It really is. And it can have such a huge impact on daily life, can't it?
Totally. It might start small, maybe just avoiding the freeway, but then it can grow.
Yeah, before you know it, even short trips feel like this massive hurdle.
And that really limits things.
Yeah.
Your independence, maybe job options, needing remote work, or taking these long, winding routes on side roads.
You end up relying on other people for lifts, stuff like that. It shrinks your world.
But here's a really interesting point you often make.
Yeah.
It's usually not the driving itself that's the core fear.
Exactly. It's more about the what ifs, isn't it? What if I have a panic attack while I'm driving?
Right. Like, will I lose control? Or what if I can't pull over? Can't escape?
Or just, what if those awful physical feelings, the dizziness, the racing heart, what if they become just unbearable behind the wheel?
And that's a really crucial piece of hope we want to get across right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Even if driving feels terrifying right now,
yes.
Even if you used to love it and now you avoid it completely, getting back that comfort, that confidence, it's absolutely possible.
It really is. It takes work, but it's achievable.
So in this deep dive, we're going to explore, you know, why these panic attacks seem to latch on to driving specifically.
And maybe touch on some first steps someone could take. Just starting that journey towards recovery.
Okay, so thinking about anxiety generally, that very first panic attack, it often just hits out of the blue, right?
Completely. Feels totally random. And because the physical sensations are so intense, it feels like a real, genuine emergency.
Yeah, I mean, people end up in the ER sometimes or calling for help because it feels that serious.
Understandably so. The body's alarm system is just blaring.
And then what happens after that first one? You talk about the nervous system getting sensitized.
Yeah, that's a key idea. After such an intense experience, your nervous system can become, well, hyper aware. Kind of like the volume on your internal danger detector gets cranked way up.
So it's more easily triggered afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. It's on high alert. And the brain, being smart, but sometimes a bit too literal, takes like a mental snapshot of where and when that intense fear happened.
Ah, okay. So if that first big panic attack happened in the car,
then your brain might start linking car or driving with danger. Even if logically you know it's safe, that association gets hardwired.
It's like that analogy you use sometimes if you saw, say, a tiger somewhere specific.
Right. Like in a certain part of the woods, your survival instinct would scream, danger, next time you went near that spot, even if the tiger was long gone.
So the car becomes the tiger spot.
In a way, yeah. Your body triggers that same fight or flight response, that panic, just by being in the car because of that past association. It's a false alarm, but it feels incredibly real.
And it's not just the situation, is it? The actual feelings of panic, the dizziness, the heart pounding, those can become the scary thing themselves.
Oh, absolutely. The symptoms become the perceived threat. You start fearing the fear, fearing the sensations.
Which just creates this awful cycle, right?
Hmm.
Fear the feeling, avoid the situation, which reinforces the fear.
Precisely. It's a feedback loop that keeps the anxiety going strong. Your brain learns, avoiding driving did make the scary feeling stop, so driving must be dangerous.
Let's talk about some specific fears people have. That feeling of being dizzy.
Hmm.
The worry about actually passing out while driving must be huge.
It's incredibly common. That lightheadedness, the feeling the world is spinning, it's terrifying to imagine losing consciousness when you're operating a vehicle.
But physiologically, panic usually does something different to fainting, doesn't it?
That's a really critical point. Panic attacks, because of that adrenaline surge, typically increase your blood pressure and heart rate.
Hmm.
Fainting, or syncope, is usually caused by a sudden drop in blood pressure.
So they're kind of opposites.
In terms of blood pressure effect, generally, yes. That surge of adrenaline during panic actually makes fainting less likely in that moment.
So the dizziness isn't usually a sign you're about to pass out.
The dizziness is very real, often due to changes in breathing or blood flow shifting to major muscles, part of that fight or flight response. But it doesn't typically lead to actually losing consciousness in a panic context.
Still, probably good to get checked out by a doctor just in case.
Oh, always. Rule out any underlying medical issues first. But if it's clearly linked to panic episodes, then understanding this difference can be really reassuring. It helps diffuse that specific fear.
Okay, another big one. That overwhelming urge to just escape. Especially, like you said, on a freeway or stuck in traffic.
Yes, that feeling of being trapped. Anxiety hates feeling confined or like there's no easy way out.
And a car, especially moving traffic, can feel very much like a trap.
It really can. You can't just instantly pull over and get out, usually. But it's useful to ask yourself, what am I really trying to escape from?
Is it the traffic or the feeling?
9 times out of 10, it's the desire to escape the feeling of panic, those uncomfortable, intense sensations, not an actual external danger on the road.
Okay, so understanding all this is one thing. But how do you start to, you know, tackle it? Where do you begin?
Well, that understanding itself is actually a huge first step.
Mm-hmm.
Really getting to grips with why your body's reacting this way, the sensitized nerves, the fight or flight kicking in inappropriately.
Knowledge is power kind of thing.
It really is. When you understand the mechanics, the feelings might still be unpleasant, but they become less mysterious, maybe less terrifying. You can start to see them as these uncomfortable but ultimately harmless false alarms.
So learning about sensitization, fight or flight, that helps take the edge off the fear.
It absolutely can. It reframes the experience.
Now, this next part might sound a bit counterintuitive, I think.
Uh-huh, which is?
That a big part of recovery often involves not immediately trying to escape or avoid the anxious feelings when they show up.
Right, because every time you avoid driving or pull over the second you feel anxious, you're kind of sending a message back to your brain.
Yeah.
See? That was dangerous. Avoiding it kept me safe. It accidentally reinforces the fear cycle. It validates the false alarm.
So if that feeling of panic starts bubbling up while you're driving, what's the goal then?
The goal, ideally, is to try and acknowledge it. Like, okay, here's that anxious feeling again. I know what this is. And then gently shift your focus back to the task at hand.
Just keep driving. Focus on the road, the mirrors, the speed.
Exactly. Focus on the external act of driving. Let the feelings be there in the background without fighting them or desperately trying to make them stop. Allow them to rise, peak, and eventually fall, which they always do.
That sounds hard.
Oh, it is hard, especially at first. It takes practice, lots of it. You're essentially retraining your nervous system.
How does that work? Retraining it.
By staying in the situation with the feeling and seeing that nothing catastrophic actually happens, you're teaching your brain little by little, hey, maybe the situation isn't dangerous after all.
You're showing it the alarm was false.
Precisely. You're demonstrating safety through experience, but it needs consistency. You can't just do it once.
And patience, I imagine. Lots of patience with yourself.
Absolutely crucial. This response pattern didn't develop overnight, and it won't disappear overnight either. Be kind to yourself. Celebrate small wins.
It's not about being perfect immediately.
Not at all. It's about progress, not perfection. Like learning anything new, really. You wouldn't expect to play a piano concerto after one lesson.
That's a good way to put it. And it's important for people listening to know they're not alone in this, right?
Oh, absolutely not. So many people have navigated this exact challenge. People who felt completely ruled by driving anxiety.
Who are now driving freely again.
Yes. Driving wherever they want or need to go. Those recovery stories are so important because they show it can be done. There is definitely hope.
That's really encouraging. Now, one more thing we should probably touch on, that feeling of being completely out of control during a panic attack.
Yes, that's a big one, especially in a driving context.
Because you are controlling machinery. The fear must be that the panic will make you actually lose physical control of the car.
It's a very understandable fear, but it's vital to recognize that the feeling of being out of control is a core symptom of the panic attack itself. It happens whether you're driving, sitting on the sofa, or anywhere else.
So the feeling is part of the panic package, so to speak.
Exactly. It feels incredibly real, that sense of losing your grip, but it's usually a trick of the anxiety.
So even when someone feels totally out of control, they're often still able to drive okay.
In the vast majority of cases, yes. Their focus might narrow, they might grip the wheel tighter, they feel awful inside, but their ability to physically steer, brake, and navigate generally remains intact. The sensation of losing control doesn't equal actual loss of control over the vehicle.
That must be hard to believe when you're in the middle of it.
It is. That feeling is powerful. But again, gently continuing to drive, focusing on the actions of driving, can be a way to prove to yourself, see, even with this awful feeling, I am still in control of the car.
It's like challenging that feeling directly through action.
In a sense, yes. It's another way of showing your brain that the feeling, while scary, isn't accurately reflecting reality.
Okay, so as we start to wrap this up, the main takeaway seems to be that overcoming this is a journey.
Definitely a journey, not a quick fix. It needs that understanding of what's happening.
Patience with yourself and consistent effort, even if it's just small steps.
And learning to recognize those anxiety signals for what they are, often false alarms. And, crucially, learning to respond differently.
Not with immediate avoidance, but with allowing, acknowledging and refocusing.
Exactly. Allowing those feelings to be there without letting them dictate your actions. Gently guiding your attention back to the present moment, back to the driving.
And reminding listeners again, there really is hope. So many people have come through this.
So many. You absolutely have the potential to regain that freedom, too. It's not a life sentence.
And maybe you don't feel like you have to do it all by yourself.
Oh, please don't. Seeking support is so important, whether it's good resources, online communities, or working with a therapist or a coach who really understands anxiety.
Someone who gets it can make a big difference.
A huge difference. Having guidance, support, and encouragement can really help you navigate the process and, you know, find that lasting freedom much more effectively.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening.
Mm-hmm.
What's maybe one tiny step you could consider taking? Just one small thing. Maybe this week, towards getting back behind the wheel with a bit more ease.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a cross-country road trip. Maybe just sitting in the car in the driveway. Or a short drive around a quiet block with someone supportive.
Just something to start rebuilding that sense of safety and confidence.
Exactly. Small, manageable steps are the way forward.